live, we'll get this started, so.
Okay.
Let's call the roll, please.
Okay, it's 5 o'clock. Trustee Lawrence?
Here.
Trustee Lawler?
Here.
Trustee Leiplett?
Here.
Trustee Healy?
Here.
Trustee Katsinas? No. Trustee Malani? No. Mayor Dodge?
Here.
We have a quorum. Pledge of allegiance, please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Non-scheduled citizens and visitors for agenda-specific public comment.
Hearing none.
I'll proceed to the next items for separate action. Resolution halting fiber optic construction.
All right, George, you know, so I think the board's aware of what happened, right? And why we called this special meeting so we could do what we can. And what they're trying to do is difficult, which is add infrastructure to a built environment, but we've had more than a few instances. So why don't you and Joel take the board through everything and what we're proposing tonight?
Sure. While I'm doing that, I just wanted to let my attorney Stillman is on the line, so he's on the phone.
Thank you.
Yep. So you know, since the summer of 25, there's been an uptick in interest in fiber optic installations in the village, but it's not just the village, it's statewide. So there's an incentive out there incentivizing companies to expand broadband access, which is a very good, noble program. We are living in a much more digital age right now, so having access to high-speed internet is great, but we're seeing more and more disruptions caused by the underground installations of these utilities. And just this past week, on the 8th, in the Catalina subdivision, we had a hit. One of the subcontractors working for one of the internet companies actually hit the line in two places, which disrupted services to approximately 300 homes for about 7 hours. So it was a very cold day for that. And as the mayor said, you know, this is a very difficult job that they're doing because this is all underground. But what we are requesting is to put a halt on any work, any fiber optic construction, until we can get an expanded and new rules in place so that that we can minimize this type of impact for residents in the future.
I guess it's pretty straightforward, but George, the regulations between federal and state, this is largely, they regulate these entities, so there's no issue of access, but we have, if you will, the last mile of responsibility because, I mean, I think it was 20 degrees that day that, Mary, when your power went out, if you don't mind.
Yes, so I live in the Catalina subdivision, and actually the power went out at about 11 o'clock in the morning and didn't come back on until about 7:30 at night. So it's a little more than 7 hours. It was terrible. It was about 20 degrees out, the snow was on the ground. I do have a disabled husband at home who was absolutely freezing. It was terrible in our house. It was warm for about the first hour and then it proceeded to get worse throughout the day. And the problem is that Astound didn't notify any of us, and you know they were just going by rules, by rumor. I mean, we did hear from the village, which I thank you very much, and I do praise the village for what they did. They were out there and working hard on them, and I think we're going to hear from Joel. But I do thank you and your people. But it was terrible. Catalina subdivision has a lot of seniors in there. It also has a school, but probably had a generator. But it was really bad. So it was, and that's not the first time we've had problems with Astound coming through our neighborhood. So
And Mayor, if I, just to touch upon what you said, there's two ways that a utility like a fiber, like an internet provider, can get access to right-of-way and easements. The first way is an old-school municipal franchise agreement, and Xfinity has a franchise agreement with the village. The other way is a relatively new method, which is a state-authorized license. It's a statewide license. That came about in 2007. So other than Xfinity, which has a municipal franchise, everybody else is operating under the state-authorized license. So it takes away a lot of authority from the village and from municipalities in general. They have the right to go into easements, right-of-ways. They do still have to submit permit requests through our Public Works Department. And with this increase in fiber installations, our Public Works Department has been very busy, not just reviewing the permits, but also with the Julie locates, the underground utility locations. And we don't get paid for that. So there's a lot of resources that are going into this. Again, this at the end of the day, this is going to be very good for residents when they have additional high-speed internet access, but we're limited in how much we can regulate, but we are going to do new regulations, working with the village attorney to get stuff on the books where we can actually have more teeth in our dealings with these companies.
I guess, sorry, George. So you or Joel, what happened?
Estown did coordinate with us in the fall, and they were talking about if they can continue to work in the winter. In the winter, in the past 4 years, has been very mild in December, and they wanted to finish up Zone 1, which only had Catalina still remaining. Catalina was remaining because we had so much other construction going on. We didn't want to add a third wave of people in there while the other work was going on, because it'd be very confusing on who's fixing on what and so forth. So because it was, if the winter had been mild, they would have been able to finish up the Catalina section of Zone 1 and be done with all Zone 1. But they were also moving to Zone 2 with work. Unfortunately, we've had a very heavy winter already in December, and snow came on the ground. And so the subcontractor who's doing the work for Astound is unable to see all the markings that were placed on the ground. And then they went ahead and when they bored, obviously they could not see the markings, and therefore they hit in two whole separate locations. It wasn't close to each other. They were about three blocks away from each other. So it wasn't like one crew was doing it. They hit it one spot, then they moved to, there was another area, and they hit that area. So that's why we immediately stopped the work at that time to look at their practices. And obviously with snow, we could put flags in, but the flags that were put in there was from ComEd, who was doing the repair work. So, and the communication was very poor. Stown did not notify any of us. They are required to notify Public Works as soon as they have a hit. One of our own employees found it first by talking to one of the residents. He was out there looking at some other work that was being done. And so with that notification internally, we immediately reached out to them, and they said, oh, we didn't know anything about this. And so that is that kind of communication is very poor. And that's what we want to be make sure we fix, so that in the future, when they're doing other work, that communication is always flowing to us.
Any questions or comments from the board for staff? One more question for George, but go ahead.
Joel, when they tore up the parkways and everything, and with ComEd having to do the repairs, now is that any damage to the streets or the curbs?
No. But it is definitely in the grass area. Being that snow's on the ground, that was another concern. We wouldn't want to have work going on during snow because it turns into mud, right? That's water. And that creates even a worse area to restore. So instead of a small area of impact, it increases the impact zone for the residents, and they get to see it all winter long because they're not going to restore it until spring, really, to when the ground, you know, we can blanket and seed and so forth. So nothing to the roads or that we could find. It's more the access of vehicles, their boring machine, that impacted some of the locations where we had boring going on, but also the repair work going on.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? George, so the resolution tonight, what are we accomplishing? Just to, so everybody, I want everybody to understand the next steps. I mean, we like the outcome of people having this as an option, but we got some work to do. So what are we doing?
So the resolution puts a halt to any of the fiber optic construction until we can do, there's a couple of things that we have to get resolved first. First, we have to have a resolution for any of the unrepaired property damage. We have to resolve any of the strikes to existing utilities, anything that's outstanding like open holes, potholes, sidewalks left unrestored. We got to make sure that the work is not being performed outside of permitted hours, and we have to make sure that the subcontractors have visible identification. But what we're also going to be doing is putting new rules into place, and Public Works will be working, like I said, with the village attorney. A couple things that we're going to do is we're going to limit work area limits. A lot of these companies are very aggressive. They want to get these things done as fast as possible, so sometimes they overextend themselves and when they're moving at such a quick pace. So we are going to restrict how many active construction zones can operate at one time. And then we're also going to, the village has been aggressive on communicating these installations. We've come up with yard signs that are being placed in the areas. We've created a website for this. But we're going to require these installers to provide proof of direct resident notification. And like I said, vehicle identification, the subcontractors will have to have identification of who they are working for, Astound, or any of these companies. We have on the books right now fines for violation, meaning if someone disrupts the utilities, we actually have a municipal code for that. And right now, we are beefing up all of our fine ordinances, including our disruption for utilities. And that'll be coming the first meeting in February. It's going to really ramp up at each time there's a disruption. And then the Public Works Director will have an ability for a stop work order process. If any of these items are not being followed, then he will put a halt, and they will not be able to restart until they are in full compliance. So tonight, we're going to put a halt to all construction permits for fiber optic until we can get these new rules in place.
Do they have a formal requirement to notify us? Joel, you said they didn't notify us. We kind of figured it out surreptitiously.
Correct. We put that notification process in when we had our early coordination meetings because it was such a big project.
So that requirement is, well, I guess if they have an incident like this where they hit another utility, are they required to notify us?
Yes.
If not, that should be included in all this as you build out this ordinance.
That's okay. Always a standard process for any kind of construction that they should be notifying if a situation like that, a hit occurs.
All right, and I guess maybe you guys can take a look at it, but it should be like within minutes, we should be their first call because this thing could have had an hour delay before they notified ComEd unless ComEd can detect it remotely. I don't know, so I'm just posing that as an idea for you guys to look at.
Yeah, I'm sure ComEd with their smart meters knows when the power's gone out, so they automatically dispatch. But there's no reason that we should have found out about it. They should have been notifying us ahead of time with this. That's one of the challenges, is these companies don't necessarily have their own undergrounding companies. They bring in subcontractors, and so some are better than others. But what we're going to be doing with these rules is it's going to cost them more money. It's going to take more time. But the whole point here is to minimize disruptions to the residents and businesses.
Yeah, and just a brief comment, then open it back up for the board. We're not interested in the money. This is about compliance.
Correct.
And good work. Same thing with all of our codes and ordinances. Any other comments, or we entertain a motion?
Mr. Mayor?
Trustee Leifblatt?
I move to adopt a resolution entitled A Resolution Halting Fiber Optic Construction and to authorize village staff and the village attorney to draft an ordinance creating new rules for internet service installations to be presented to the village board at a future meeting.
Second.
So motion and a second. Any comments or questions about the motion? Call the roll, please.
Leifblatt?
Aye.
Lawler?
Aye.
Lawrence?
Aye.
Healy?
Aye.
And Mayor Dodge?
Aye.
Okay, we'll proceed to ordinance amending Chapter 26 of Title 7 of the Municipal Code.
Okay, George, let's kick this off. So what happened and why do we need to do this?
Sure. So as the board will recall, the village board adopted the continuation of the grocery tax. Everything was filed in accordance with the state's rules. The ordinance that the village and pretty much every other municipality that continued the grocery tax, they followed the IML, the Illinois Municipal League template. And so recently we got notification back from the state that they've accepted our ordinance, but they are asking for a one sentence change. It's really, I think it's a very detailed technical change that is, when you read it, you can't really tell the difference between the two, but it is what they want. And so this is just a minor change to our existing ordinance.
And I guess you spoke about this with our attorney, Mike Stillman.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, I'm sorry, thank you for calling me in So thank you. I appreciate it. Every municipality that I represent, we did all use the IML template, as George said. And we did get guidance from IUR as to what they want in order. So we're trying to get a meeting. And they all did that. And everyone in Lamont, Mary Park, and Howard Park, and then, our represents about 60 municipalities. All of them received this change, and it is, we believe, stemming from one of their council that wants it just a little different. So this is kind of a minor merging, but it doesn't change at all that the whole concept of the tax.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the board?
Mr. Mayor.
Trustee Leifblatt.
So this is required so that we can finalize this portion, this tax?
That's correct.
Okay.
They accepted it being on time as of October 1st, but technically they were going to change in order to start on our effective date, which is January 1st.
Mr. Mayor?
Trustee Lawrence?
In reading the change, it looks to me like it's just a little bit more precise or specific. Again, I think it just goes to a little bit of the lawyers putting their thumbprint on it.
Yeah, because it's really, when you read it, it's difficult to kind of tell what the difference is.
Any other comments or questions? Pretty straightforward. I look at what the language the state put in, and the first word that comes to mind is clunky. But if it works and they require it, so be it. Okay. All right, no other questions or comments. Entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor.
Trustee Lawler.
I move to adopt an ordinance entitled, An Ordinance Amending Chapter 26, Imposing a Grocery Tax of Title VII of the Orland Park Village Code.
Second.
There's a motion, a second. Any comments or questions about the motion? Call the roll, please.
Okay. Trustee Lawler?
Aye.
Trustee Lawrence?
Aye.
Trustee Leiplett?
Aye.
Trustee Healy?
No.
Mayor Dodge?
Aye.
Motion passes. Non-scheduled citizens and visitors for public comment on items relevant to village business.
Do we want to entertain long, drawn-out comments and go to six? If there's no other business, then we'll have a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Mayor.
Trustee Leiplett.
I move to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
It's a motion and a second. Call the roll, please.
Trustee Leiplett?
Aye.
Trustee Lawler?
Aye.
Trustee Lawrence?
Aye.
Trustee Healy?
Aye.
Mayor Dodge?
Aye.
Motion passes. The time is now 5:20.
Thanks, Mike.